Today's Shir's Masech Kedushin Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. In our previous year, the Gemara had taught us Rabbi Elazar's opinion. That Rabbi Elazar said that a Kuti may not marry a Kutis, and the Gemara had attempted to understand why not. Elikos Ravin. When Ravin came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Varmalei Amar Rav Abba bar Zavda, Amar Rav Chanina, Varmalei Amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rav Yishuv Malevi, Shalosh Machloikes Bedavar. There are three opinions regarding the Kutim and Kohanim that got intermingled with them. And by understanding these opinions, we can now understand what is the halachic status of the Kutim? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, Sofer Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is, Kutim Geirei Rais. As we discussed in our previous year, that the Kutim Geiris was not sincere, and since the Kutim's Geiris was not a sincere Geiris, so it's not considered as if they had a proper Geiris. Furthermore, the Cain Kahanim Shinasar Behem, there were Kahanim that got intermingled with the Kutim, Kahanim Pslum Hayu. He says these Kahanim were disqualified Kahanim. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Viyu Yuremus Hashem, Vyas Lahem, Miktsosum Kahane Habamis. They had Kahanim who were Kahane Habamis. But the Pasuk, in describing these Kohanim, calls them Miktsasim. So says the Gemara, what is meant with the description of Miktsasim? Says the Gemara, the meant is, these were individuals who were disqualified. There are two opinions in the Rishonim, what exactly were their disqualification. Some Rishonim explain that they were disqualified for being Kohanim, but they weren't necessarily disqualified for being Yisraelim. They are Psulei Kohuna. And there are other Rishonim say that when the Gemara says Menakotzim Shabam, which means like thorns, they were Psulei Kohol. Shimhocha Psulim. Because their Geiris wasn't sincere Geiris, they weren't allowed to get married with the Klal Yisrael. Since their Geiris wasn't sincere Geiris, we have to be concerned that one is getting married with a non-Jewish. And the Gemara goes on to say that the Kohanim that got mixed into them, but says the Rishonim, that isn't relevant to what we're discussing. If we say, going back to the Machlokes Rishonim that we just quoted a second ago, if we say that their disqualification was that they were Psulei Kohanim, so Psulei Kohanim might be a disqualification, but it doesn't have anything to do with their disqualification for getting married into Klal Yisrael. So according to the opinion that their issue was that they were Psulei Kohanim, the only relevant fact here is that the Kutin's Geiris is not a sincere Geiris. And that's why we can't intermarry them, as we'll continue learning in a moment. If we hold, however, that the Kohanim that got intermingled with them were not just Psulei Kohanim, but they were Psulei Kol, so now the Gemara is much easier to understand. Because what the Gemara is teaching us is, because they were Psulei Kol, so we have a double issue here. Number one, the Kutim's Geiris wasn't a proper Geiris, so they're not considered Jewish. And number two, the Kohanim that got intermingled with them were Psulei Kol, so getting married to them is also a consideration. Rav Kiva Sofer Shekutim Geiri Emes. Rav Kiva's opinion is that the Kutim have a Geiri Emes. And as the Rishonim explain, that the fact is, as the Gemara teaches us, that they started worshipping Avodah Zarah. But this man, the Omer, is of the opinion that since when they became Gerim, their Geirus was sincere, the fact that later on they began worshipping Avodah Zarah doesn't take away from their original Geirus. And the original Geirus was a proper Geirus. And since the original Geirus was a proper Geirus, that's why they're considered Jewish. And moreover, the Kahanim that got intermingled with the Kutim were of fine Yichus. Shinema, as the Pasuk we just quoted says, V'yaslam miktosam kainai bamis, v'am rabba b'b'chano am Rabbi Yochanan, what does menakaitse mean? Menabachirim shebehem. B'shechibram, they were the people of impeccable Yichus. So if that's the case, ma'bnei ma'osram, why were they disallowed to get married into Klal Yisrael? If they're fine, and the Kohanim that intermingled with them are fine, so why did they make this rule? Says the Gemara, Neshimiyabim Arusis. The halach is, as we often discuss in our shiurim, there are two stages to a Jewish marriage. The first stage is the Erusin, and the second stage is the Nesun. As far as the halach is concerned, an Arusa is an Eishes Ish. And what's relevant to our discussion is, since an Arus is considered an Eishes Ish, if her husband should die without children, even though they never consummated the marriage, it doesn't make a difference. The wife has to have Yibum or Chalitza. They made the mistake of believing that the din of Yibum and Chalitza only actually applies by an Arusa. They did not believe that the rule of Yibum applies by Nesu'in. And the Gemara explains, why did they make that mistake? My Darshi, what was this mistake based on? The Pasuk says, the Pasuk that introduces the din of Yibum and Chalitza, says, Ki yeshva achim yachto of meis achim behem ben eloi, v'siya eshas meis achutzu lezor, yuvama yava alev alokhla lish v'yibma. This is the Pasuk that teaches us the aloch of Yibum and Chalitza. So they explained, hachti yosva chutzu, the wife that was always on the outside, meaning the wife that only had Erisin, for which we just explained, since she only had Erisin, they're not really, they never consummated the marriage. By her, there's aloch hisa leisil lizar, that she may not marry anyone else without having Yibum Chalitza. Aval hach, a wife that they consummated the marriage that they had in Nesu'in, and therefore this woman, lo yasva chutzah, was never excluded from a relationship with her husband, til lizar, she doesn't have to Yibum Chalitza. So it turns out that we have here a Yavama, a woman that's obligated to have Yibum, that's not having Yibum. A Shemeris Yavam, she's a woman that's supposed to have Yibum, that's not having Yibum. Rabbi Kiva Tamei, and Rabbi Kiva is here following his opinion, Dama Yesh Mamza Mechai V'Lavin. A Yavam Lashuk, a woman that's supposed to have Yibum, that doesn't have Yibum, is a Chai V'Lavin. If such a woman is a Chai V'Lavin, and she gets married, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that such a woman, the child, will be a Mamzer. And others say, why did they disallow the Kutim from marrying into Klal Yisrael? Lefish ein bekukim beduke mitzvahs. They're not familiar with the halacha of all the mitzvahs. And as Rashi explains, that we need to be concerned that some of the Kutim maybe did get married properly, and some of them did not get married properly. And therefore, so there's two halachas. Number one, whenever you meet a Kuti, you can't be sure what is his yichus. Is he from the Kutin whose forefathers followed the halacha properly and got married properly, and therefore there is no psul with the yichus? Or are they from those that weren't following the halacha properly, and therefore their yichus is an issue? Moreover, in understanding this halacha, now we could understand how, as we began the shir by saying Rabbi Loza held that a kuti might not marry a kutis, this halacha is now quite understandable. Because we don't know, we could have two kutim, once Yichus is fine, because there was no issue in the marriage of his forefathers. And the other, and the Kutis is a person who there were marriages, there were problems in the marriages. It could go the other way too. So since it could go in either direction, that's why Chazal's Rabbi Elazar said they can't get intermarried. Says the Gemara, man yesh oimrim. Ask the Gemara, who's the yesh oimrim that indeed say the kutim, we have a problem with their mitzvah observance? Says the Gemara, Amar Avidi Bar Oven, Rabbi Elazar. He represents the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us matzas kuti. The matzah that was baked by kuti, materis may be eaten on Pesach. We need not be concerned that it's chametz. The Adam Yotvei Dei Chavasa BePesach. Not only can you eat that matzah, we don't have to be concerned it's chametz, we can be confident that it's matzah, you can fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night. Rabbi Elazar says no, because Rabbi Elazar's opinion is, Lefisha and Bikim, the great mitzvahs, they're not familiar with the halachas. Shem Gamliel Aymer, mitzvah, kol mitzvah shechzika by kutim, if we know there's a mitzvah that they follow properly, harbi dadikin yosef, Israel. So Rabbi Elazar is the one that we can now understand. Says the Gemara Alahacha, we can understand when we speak about matzah, because the halacha is that when matzah is baked, it has to be made with the proper shmira. If you're going to use it on the first night of Yontif, it has to be made l'shem mitzvah matzah. But ask the Gemara, what is the issue here? And it says the Gemara, they don't know the halachas, and therefore there may be people who didn't get married properly, there may be people who didn't get divorced properly, and therefore that could create all sorts of yichas issues. So Rashi explains that matzas kuti meteris means that we don't have to worry that the matzah became chametz, which of course matzah that became chametz may not be eaten during the duration of Pesach. And moreover, on the first night of Pesach, we have to eat matzah mitzvah. Matzah was made the shame mitzvah matzah. We can rely that they did that properly. The Rishonim discuss why can we rely on the kuti. Some Rishonim explain that we can rely that they know how to do this and that they're doing it properly. Other Rishonim say that the only time we could eat the matzah of a kuti is if Yisrael Oymer al Gabav, if Yisrael is supervising the baking of their matzah. So therefore, even though they don't have necessarily the proper kavana lishma, but the person who's supervising their baking has the proper kavana, and that will make the matzah fine. Which really is a discussion: if the person who's baking the matzah does not have the proper kavanah l'shem mitzvah matzah, but there's someone who's there supervising it, would that be adequate? Or does the person who's actually doing the baking have to have that kavanah? Tosfos asks, how could we be yoitz the mitzvah of matzah kuti? Isn't there halacha a pas kutim, pas akum? So matzah that's baked by the kutim is pas kutim. So Tosfos in Masechet Gittin answers that here we're starting with a dough that was made by a Jew. And the dough that was made by a Jew was baked by the kuti into a matzah. And there is no problem with pas kutim. Another teretz that this kuti baked the matzah in a Jew's home. And there are rishonim that hold that the pas of a kuti that was baked in a Jew's home is not a problem of pas Yisrael. Another explanation that the Hamakna suggests is that the halacha is if you have pas that's being prepared by a kuti, by an akum, but a Jew does a significant act, he's mechatem b'kacholim, he's the one that stirs the coals, there wouldn't be a parma pas kuti, and that's what happened over here, that the Jew did a significant act in contributing to the baking of the matzah. Another teretz is that at this time, when the Gemara is saying that the Gezer was in effect, was in a time before they made the Gezer of Paskuti. So Tosfos asks another question. We know throughout Shas The Kutim are people who are not concerned about Lifnei Yivel Asita Michshol. So if the Kuti baked matzah, why are we confident that we could eat that matzah? Why should we not be concerned that the Kuti baked the matzah and he knows it's going to be eaten by a Jew and he's not concerned that that matzah is not matzah that you can be yoitz the mitzvah? So Tosfos answers that we have to describe that the Jew, that the matzah that we're speaking about is matzah that the Kuti originally intended for himself. So even though they're not concerned about Lifnei Yivel Asita Michshol, and they're not worried about serving us chametz, but if this is a matzah, we know that they originally had intention to use for themselves. So then, we don't have to, for themselves, they want to use good matzah, we don't have to be concerned. Another explanation gives the Gemara why the kutim asurim love a zebezeh. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Bavavua, mamzer machoisu, mamzer meishasach nesavim behem. We, a mamzer from somebody who had relations with a sister, and a mamzer with somebody who had relations with a eishes ach got mixed in, and therefore we have to be concerned, maybe on every kuti, that he's the mamzer. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmon, what is Rav Nachman trying to teach us, mamzer machoisoi? He's trying to teach us that a question that we often discuss, what type of improper relation produces a mamzer. It's teaching us, yesh mamzer mechayve krisis. Ask the Gemara v'nisni chado. So if that's what he's trying to teach us, that when there's a chiv koris involved in this relationship, that's what produces a mamzer, so why do we have to give two examples? The example of eishes ach and a choisoi. Answers the Gemara, indeed, there was no reason to give us two examples, but that's Maisa Shayu Kachayu, that's exactly what happened. So the Gemara is reporting as it was. V'arav Amar, Ever v'shifcha nis'arva b'hem. And Ever v'shifcha got mixed into them, and we don't know who any kuti and any kutis we need to be concerned are the descendant of that Ever v'shifcha. Ask the Gemara, is Surim Shemai, what is the issue with Ever v'shifcha? Mishim Shifcha. So that if the mother is an Eved, if the mother is a Shifcha and the daughter is born, the daughter is a Shifcha. If the mother is a Shifcha and they have a son, the son is an Eved. So again, ask the Gemara, why do we have to speak about two examples? Eved v'Shifcha. Answers the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Nisni Chada, wouldn't it be adequate just to teach us one example? Says the Gemara, the reason both were mentioned, because Ma'ase Shayu Kachayu, that's exactly what happened. Says the Gemara, since we're so focused, the Mishnayis and the Gemaras. On Yichus, continues the Gemara, Noise Isha Kahanis. If somebody marries the daughter of a Kohen, Tzarech Livdek Achareah, one has to examine her Yichus, if there's no disqualification of being a Mamzer or any other disqualification. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that this is a Chiv Drabonim. Because even if there's a Sufik Mamzer, we've learned so many times that the halacha is that a Suffolk mamzer is mutter lover bekol. The only time we have to be worried about a mamzer is by a vade mamzer. But the Rabbanan insisted that we should make this examination. Why? The reason is because since if he's going to be considered a kohen, he's going to do the avoid on the mizbeach, he's going to eat truma. And of course, a Yisrael who does the Avoida, or Yisrael that eats Trumas Chayv Misa. So in order to be certain, we did this examination. What is the examination? Arbimos. Two from her paternal side, and two from her maternal side. Shein Shmonim. Shmonim, that he has to check the mother, he has to check each one, the mothers, he has to check each one of the grandmothers, and her mother, so that's a total of eight. Ima, and the Mishnah identifies, who are we talking about? Ima, her mother, the Aim Ima, her mother's mother, Aim Avi Ima, the mother of her father's mother, the Ima, the mother of her, of the mother of the father's mother, Veim Avia, her father's mother, the Ima, and her father's mother's mother, Veim Avi Avia, and the mother and her grandfather's mother, the ima, and the the two great-grandparents from our father's side, from his mother and from his father. Says the Mishnah, when one is coming to marry a Levi Yisraelis, so since when one is marrying a Levi Yisraelis, the Kohanim were much more careful if with their Yichus. So once we did this examination, we could be confident that if they pass this examination, they're fine. But when we're checking Levi Yisraelis, where the level of scrutiny of Yichus was much less, we have to add another generation. However, says the Mishnah, that if we discover that, her, let's say, her father's father did avoid on the Mizbeach, once we see that her grandfather did avoid on the Mizbeach, they did not allow anyone to do any avoid on the Mizbeach unless they were confident in that person's Yichus. So once we see that our grandfather did avoid in the Mizbeach, we know that our grandfather has a fantastic Yichus and there's no need to go any further. If her grandfather did Birchus Kahanim, or if he was a Levi, he stood on the platform where the Levim sang the Shira. So again, they didn't allow anybody to do so unless they were of impeccable Yichus. No need to go any further. If there's someone who was a member of the Sanhedrin, if her grandfather was a member of the Sanhedrin, and the Rishonim point out, when we speak about being a member of the Sanhedrin, it doesn't mean that he was a member of any Bezdin. It has to be a member of the Sanhedrin that does Din in the Fashas. Then the halacha is that, again, they only allow members of the Sanhedrin to be of people of impeccable Yichus, and we don't have to go further. And says the Mishnah, anybody whose forefather was a public official, the Binyan Shlomo says, it's very interesting, we all remember, in Pashas Yisroi, Yisroi recommends to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should pick Dayanim to help him. And he identifies four qualities that these Dayanim should have. Anshi Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshi Emes, V'Soyne Betza. But when the Pasuk says what Moshe Rabbeinu actually did, the Pasuk says, V'yivcha Moshe Anshi Chayil Mikol Yisrael. The only quality the Pasuk identifies is that there were Anshi Chayil Mikol Yisrael. So why is that? So the Binyan Shlomo says that Moshe Rabbeinu was careful to only choose people to sit as Dayanim, who people who left Mitzrayim and were people of great Yichus. And anybody who left Mitzrayim with a great Yichus was automatically a Yirei Elokim and an Anshi Emes and a Soni Betzer. The only thing he had to make sure that they were Anshi Chayil. Anshi Chayil means that they were wealthy. Yisroi didn't know this. Yisroi was not aware, and I would imagine the reason he wasn't aware, because he himself was not a person of such great Yichus, about what Yichus means. And therefore Yisroi said, we have to look for people with all four qualities. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need that. He said, as soon as I find somebody, as our Mishnah teaches us, of great Yichus, I need not look any further. Rabbi Yosef Avmishai Yechosim Eid Berki Yishana Shotzapari. Anybody who was allowed to be an aid in a case in the city of Yishana Tzapari, we know they only allowed Eidim who were Miyuchosim. Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignus Oimer Avmishai Mukhta Bestratya, whoever was registered to be in the army, Shomelech, they had a rotation. Every month, they would have different people join the army. And again, they only allowed Miyuchasim to be in the army. As the Gemara, the Mishnah was focusing about the Yichus and examining from the mother's side. But as the Gemara, Maisha ben Sheba de Kinan, why do we only look about the Yichus from the mothers? Well, Maisha ben Gavri, but why not on the men's side? Answers the Gemara. Nashi de Chemetz behadadi, when women get into an argument, Barayas Humintzi, they they identify each other that they did something immoral. Vim isa, but they don't speak about yichus. So im isa dika milsa, if there is a yichus issue, la'isla kolad, there's no publicity around it. However, gavri dika mincei ba'adadi, when men disagree, b'yuchsano de mincei, what they speak about, what the way they disparage each other is with yichus issue. And im isa dika milsa, so if there is a yichus issue, isla kolad, everybody will be aware of it. Ask the Gemara, why does only he have to check the yichus? Why does the kohenis who's coming to marry a kohen not have to check the yichus of the kohen whom she is marrying? Answers the Gemara, that we've learned, even if she's a kohenis, there's no isser for her to marry somebody who doesn't have a yichus. The kohen has to be careful whom he marries. A kohenis doesn't have that restriction. Rav Adi Bar Rahava Tani, Abi Moshim Shtem Esrei. He has to add one more generation. Rabbi Masnisa Tani, in the Braisa, we learned Abi Moshim Shtem Esrei, 4. That means he has to add even one more generation. Says the Gemara, Bishlom Rav Adi Bar Rahava, that says that we have to do 12. Mukum loy v'alvi Yisrael. We'll say that we're speaking about Alvi Yisrael, and we just learned in our Mishnah that since Levim and Yisraelim were not as careful as Kohanim when it came to Yichus, we have to do one more generation. Elamas Nisa, the Braisa, that says you have to go up to 16, which added even one more generation. Name a Pliga, is that disagreeing with anything we learned in the Mishnah? Loi Maya Rachas Zogachas. Two mothers from each side, but it's really the same number. Amar Yudam Rav, Zudavar Meyav Chamamim, Kalach Mishpachos. We need not go through all of this effort. Kalach Mishpachos, Cheskas Kashrus, and Emmaus. We can rely on the Cheskas Kashrus, and there's no need for doing any Bedika. So I saw that the Ramban says that indeed we don't have to do any investigation for Mamzeris because the Gemara Masechta Ksubos Daf Yudal Amud Beis teaches us Makirim Yisrael Mamzerim Shebeneim. Ka Yisrael know who are the Mamzerim. However, he says that for other disqualification, for example, who is a Cholol, that would require there isn't the same type of publicity. Eini, says the Gemara, V'amrav Chama Baguri Amarav Meshnasenu. Our Mishnah that requires investigation, Shikarlov error, that there's somebody who raised an issue, says, so there's no argument that when there's an issue, you have to check. Answers the Gemara, Manda Masniha Lemasniha. Rabbi Yehuda that said that our Mishnah is only following the opinion of Rav Meir is not going to agree like Rav, with Rav, who says that Amish is speaking about a case where an issue was raised. And Rav Chumah Ben Gurya, who says that Rav explains that Amish is limited to a case where there's an issue, says that Amish is following the opinion of the Chachamim. He says, Machloikis Amroim, how to understand Rav's opinion? Rav Yehuda and Rav Chumah Ben Gurya. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, our Mishnah that says we need to have all this type of investigation, Zudiver Remeis, the opinion of Remeir. We don't have to do. However, in Karl of Error, if an issue was raised, even the Chachamim will agree that we have to do investigation. And according to this, there's no machloikis when we speak about the opinion of Rav. But if somebody's grandfather did avoid in the Mizbech, then we need not do any further investigation in his yichus. My tam, what's the reason? As we explained, ilah de batkua, how we not gone through this investigation before him doing the avoida, lo have a maskel who they would never have allowed him to do the avoida. V'loy men avduchem ma'ala, my tama, the da'ma mar, shom, in the lishkas agazus, there was a Sanhedrin, a miyachsi, ka'an a miyachsi leviyah, and they were careful on everybody Yichus, before they allowed anybody to do anything in the Beis HaMikdash, they made sure that this person had the proper Yichus. V'loimus Sanhedrin Amala. Furthermore, we learned anybody who was a member of the Sanhedrin, there's no reason to do any bedika. Maitama, the Taner of Yosef, Kishem Shem Bezdin, Menuka Mitzadik. All the members of Bezdin have to be of impeccable integrity. Kach Menuka Mikolovin, they all have to have perfect yichas. Amar Merema, comments Merema Mikra. Where do we see this halacha? Because the pasuk says, Kulach Yafach Reyasi, Umum Einbach. That the pasuk in describing in Shirah Shirim, the Sanhedrin, is speaking about people who are impeccable. Ask the Gemara, Ema Muma Mamish. But the pasuk maybe is referring to people who are healthy people that don't have a mum. And as I saw, the Yad Rama explains, because we want that people should have the proper respect for the Dayanim and the Sanhedrin. And if they don't look right, it may detract from that respect. Amar Racha by Yaakov. So how do we know that all the members of the Sanhedrin have to be of impeccable yichas? Amar Kravis Yatzv Sham Imach. The Pesach speaking about the members of Sanhedrin and speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Imach B'daimelach. They have to be like you. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was of impeccable yichas, so too must they be. But ask the Gemara, maybe there was a unique situation. Because the Shechina was going to be there. So when speaking about the Shechina, of course we have to be very careful. But how do we know that that's the halacha by any member of Sanhedrin? Amar Rav Nachman Makra, v'hakam halacha v'nasa mitchach. We go back to what Yisrael said. And Yisrael said it had to be people who were b'day melach. So the Shas HaTshuvos, Afraskia Da'anya discusses with a shul or a community that has two candidates to be a rav, and the question is that who should they pick? Should they maybe take both of them? Says the Shas HaTshuvos, Afraskia Da'anya, we should be careful not to have two people with overlapping position. The pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, "Ve'el Mishpatim Ashatosan Lefneim," and Rashi teaches us Lefneim v'Lefnei Ovdei Kochavim. So the question is, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that we can't take Dayanim who are not Jewish? Of course, people who are going to pass in Shilas, who are going to do Din Tyrus, have to be part of our community. So one teretz I saw is what happens if you have two Jewish litigants that are agreeable that they'll pick a akum is acceptable to them to adjudicate their matter. The Torah says that is unacceptable. It has to be somebody that's of impeccable yichas, very much based on what we just learned in our Gemara. We learned that the Mishnah called Mishach Zuka Vaisim Shaitre Rabbim. Anybody who has a yichus that their forefather was Shaitre Rabbim, that's a riot that they have impeccable yichus. Says the Gemara, Memra, the Loim Makminim Mepsulim, we don't take people for financial matters who are disqualified. For many, the Brisa teaches us, the Mishnah teaches us, Mesechta Sanhedrin Daf Lama Beza Men Aleph, Hakol Ksherim Lodun Dine Mominus, everybody's qualified to Paskin Dina Mominus, Vanakok Sherim Lodun Dina Foshus, Vavinamba, and an understanding the Mishnah, we asked Hakla Suyamai, Vamma Ravi Hudala Suyamamzer, that even a Mamzer could be a Dayan on Dina Mominus. So what are we saying? That if somebody was a Dayan but Dayan Mominus, he must be of impeccable Yichus? Answers the Gemara, Amabaya, Birushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they were careful. Our Mishnah is speaking about the Yonim in Yerushalayim. The Chaintan of Shem Baziri, B'Kedush de Be'Levi, our Mishnah speaking about Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they were careful. And the Yad Rama explains why were they more careful in Yerushalayim than anywhere else. Because in Yerushalayim, it was quite common that a person who was a dayan was ultimately promoted if there was a need, if there was a vacancy on the Sanhedrin, such an individual was promoted to the Sanhedrin. And we just learned that in the Sanhedrin you have to have people of impeccable yichus. Mm-hmm. So that's why in Yerushalayim they were careful that all the dayanim should be miyuchasim. The Gabbat Tzedukah Mesiyim says the Ramai Tama, Kiva the Mitzvah Bahadi Anoshim. The Gabbat Tzedukah sometimes don't get along with the people. They force them to give Tzedukah. Domamar, the Mashkinal Tzedukah, we could force people to give Tzedukah. And even in Erev Shabbos, the Misadika, and if there's a problem with this person, the halacha is, then Isadika, people are going to ridicule and say, how could you force me to give tzedakah? You're a person of a poor yichus. And everybody will know. Once, says the Shalz HaChuvus Marsham, there are halachas that apply to positions that people are given. So since there are positions that are given, there are halachas that are applicable to people who are given positions, and you can't remove them so simply, from here we see, says the Marsham, that the job of being a Gabbat Tzedakah is considered a Srora, and all the halakas of positions apply to him. Says the Marash Pesichni, Rav Adam Rahava, Giyai Rahava. The host of Adam Rahava was a Ger. V'akamansi iu v'rabibi. He was arguing with Rabibi. Ma'am anavidna serus demasa. I'll be in charge of the affairs in the city. Ma'am anavidna serus demasa. I want to have that position. Also, Kameh de Rav Yosef. So they came to Rav Yosef to ask the question. Amalahu. So Rav Yosef said, Nina, we learned in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Shtoim Tosim Alech Melech, the care of Achecha. Kama Simus, Shatamesim. Any position that you apply, Layel Mekarev Machecha. There has to be somebody who is a born Jew, not a Ger. Amalei Rav Achabar Ahava, Afilu Imam Yisrael. What about if his father's a ger and his mother's Jewish from birth? What is the halacha? Amalei imam Yisrael mekarech achich akrinabah. If he's born to a Jewish mother, he's a full-fledged Jew. Hilchach, says the Gemara. Rabibi the Gavar Rabbah, so now he can be appointed. Therefore, says the Gemara. Rabibi the Gavar Rabbah, Rabibi, who's a big Talmud Chacham, Layim b'milu d'shmaya, he should be in charge of the Ruchnis issues of the city. And the Balak Amar, the host of Rav Adar, he wasn't such a great Talmud Chacham, should be in charge, Mila Damasa, he should be in charge of the Gashmis. Amabai, Hilk Man Damashi, Tzum Rabbanim Bishpisa, somebody who hosts the Talmud Chacham, Lashik Rav Adar Bahava, he should have a guest, like Rav Adar Bahava, the Yadal Mabal Mishkusa, because he had this guest, he was able to work out in his favor. Says the Gemara, Rav Zera Metapel Bahu, he would work with Gerim, Rav Barba Bahu of Metapel Bahu, he would give them honor. Marova, Benet Yisrael, Afila Resh Kure, somebody who was in charge of the weights, Loi Magnin Menayu, they wouldn't appoint from a Ger, Benado Afila Resh Gagarusa, somebody who is in charge of the irrigation of the fields, because the ger and a ger can't have a position of power. So as I said before, from here we see that a compromise cannot have been offered that they should share the position. You can't share a position. They had to give each one the separate responsibility. So our Gemara just taught us how we have to be careful with positions that are offered to Gerim. And many Rishonim and Achroinim asked the question that we know that Shmaya and Avtalya were Shmaya was the Nasi and Avtalya was the Abezdin. And the question is, they were Gerim. And if they were Gerim, how could they be appointed to their positions? Says the Gemara, so the Noida Behuda says that when we speak about Shmaya and Avtalya being Gerim, is that it was from their father's side. But the mother was a regular Yisraelis. And as our Gemara just taught us, when the mother's a regular Yisraelis, the limitations of a Ger don't apply. Another explanation that many suggest is that even if we're limiting what position we could give to a ger, that's only if there are people who are not gerim who are qualified for the position. But if we have people, if there's nobody more qualified for the position than the gerim, then we could appoint the gerim. Ramosha has a tshuva, the Shas Tshuvas, Igris Moshe, Yerideya, Chelik Dalid, Simon Chavov. He says that the question that was asked to Ramosha was, can we appoint a ger to be a Magid Shir or a Mashgiach or a Rosh Yeshiva? Is that considered a position, a sorora, which our Gemara says we're not allowed to appoint gerim? So Ramosha, first of all, makes a very, very important point. He says that the Torah teaches us v'lahavta masager. We have to be very, very careful with the sensitivity of gerim. And since we have to be very careful about the sensitivity of gerim, we have to be careful not to quickly disqualify gerim from positions of authority, which will be, of course, very hurtful to them and clearly against the halacha of after masager. That's one point Ramosha makes. The other point Ramosha makes is that the job of being a Rosh Yeshiva or Magid Shir, suggests Ramosha, is not a position of Sorora. It's a teaching position. And a teaching position, as important as teaching positions are in Klal Yisrael, it isn't a job of Sorora. Therefore, Ramosha says a ger may be appointed to such a position. However, says Ramosha, that interestingly, that even though the position of being a Magid Shir or even a Rosh Yeshiva, Ramosha says, is not necessarily considered a position of Sorora, and therefore a ger may be appointed to that position, Ramosha says the position of being a Mashgiach for Kashrus is presumably or maybe a position of Sorora, and there we have to think differently. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah of Yosef Omer, Ami Shehaya Chosum, on the Aki Shana Shal Tzipori, we don't have to do any investigation. My Tama, Daiki Mechasmi, they're very careful before they allow somebody to sign as an aide. Rechnin Metognes, somebody who was in the Strachis Shal Melech. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Amar Yehuda Meshmul, Bechayolos Shebeis David. They only allowed members of David HaMelech's army, people who were Miuchasim. Amar Rabbi Yosef Maikra, V'sayachsam B'tzvoy Machoma. The people who went into the army had Yichas. V'tamamar, why do we only bring, ask the Gemara, Miuchasim into David HaMelech's army? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, K'dei Shetei Z'chusav V'z'chus Avoysim Siyatam. When you go to war, you need S'chusim. And if somebody has Yichas, has S'chus Avos. Vika, ask the Gemara, there was a member in Shmuel of David HaMelech's army called Tzelek HaMoini and suggest the man Gemara my lav dosim im oimen that it was a ger from Ammon. Says Gemara loy the Yosba Ammon doesn't mean he was a ger Ammoni. He lived in Ammon. Ask the Gemara, but what about Uriah Chitim? Again, my lav dosim mechais doesn't mean that he came from Chais. It was a ger. Again, answers the Gemara loy. It means the Yosef B'chais. V'ki itai hagiti, v'chi teima. So says the Gemara, here too you'll say the same teretz, the Yosef B'gas, that he lived in Gas, but he wasn't a gati. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rav Nachman, itai giti, bo, ubitlo, he came and was mevatel davoy de Zoro. Because we know that halacha is that a Jew does not have the halachic ability to mevatel davoy de Zoro. Only a goy can mevatel avodah zarah. So we see that he was originally an akum. Otherwise, he could have never been mevatel avodah zarah. Void, Amar Rabbi Yudam Rav, Arba Meis Yilodim Hoyle LeDavid. David HaMelech had 400 members. The Kulam B'nei Yifas Toyer. They were all the children of Yifas Toyer. The Kulam Estapim Kumi. They all had this interesting haircut. Megadlam Belurius Hoyu, and they grew their hair. They all sat in golden chariots. V'imahalchem b'roshi geisus. They were the people who led the army. V'hein ayu bala groifim shemachas beis David. They were the strong people in the family of David. So we see that David HaMelech had people who were geirim, at least geirim. Machloikas, we've learned many times when we speak about Ibnei Yifas Toyer, is the act that you're allowed to do with the Yifas Toyer only after she Megayir, so they were Megayirim. If the act is even before they were Megayir, they weren't even Jewish. Answers the Gemara, they weren't really members of the army. What they were serving was only the Azil of Susi Alma. They were only there to frighten the enemy, that the fright enemy should see such imposing members of the army, that will frighten them getting into the army. And putting the enemy into that frame of mind is critical to success in war. But it isn't the proof, but that's not that they were members of the Tzva Beis David. Because as we're learning, and members of the army of David were only people of impeccable yichus.